バルバラバルバパッパパッパバルバラバルバパッパパッパ。 If you're having trouble with your high school head, he's giving you the blues. You wanna graduate.
Brr, it's getting so cold out. It's November.
Chilly, chilly, chilly. Chili dogs all day long.
And you know what's great when it's so cold outside?
Chili dogs?
You want to exercise and to hang out. You go to the malls.
That's
you
can right.
Walk around the malls is what we would say if we were in the cold.
Well, I mean, I will be saying that as I'm not in Thailand as this episode is airing, so I'm mall walking right now.
But speaking of mall walking, we do have a lot of good mall walks here in Bangkok, and the rule applies: even if it's hot, it's nice to get in the air conditioning in the mall. Brandon, I thought maybe we could start today's episode by talking about some of the cool malls we've walked.
There's a number of really cool malls here around the city that is Bangkok. There's Terminal 21. That one's really neat. So it's
every level's a different popular destination, like Paris or London or Tokyo.
Yeah, and there's also Central World, which is the seventh largest mall in the world and the second largest one in Thailand. Then there's probably my favorite is the Platinum Fashion Mall. That one's not as big, but it's super thrifty.
Of course we love the thrifty one, and it's jam-packed with stuff, the clothes. Ooh.
Ooh, woo, all the clothes.
Mall. But which was the best to walk in?
Christopher.
Ah!
Oh, that was loud.
I'm sorry.
A single laugh ruptured my brain cavity. The best one to walk in, I mean, honestly, it's probably Central World. Like, it's so big.
You walk in there forever. Plus, they tend to have art stuffs.
It's true, it's true. Well, obviously, happy Thanksgiving to everyone listening. And that's, so we're jumping back into our annual Thanksgiving tradition that we stole from another podcast that I'm forcing us to do. Where we watch Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. There's a podcast called Till Death Do Us Blart, and they watch Paul Blart every year for Thanksgiving. And I said, you know what? I want to do that too, because that sounds very funny. So Donna said yes, not really thinking it through, apparently. And here we are.
You just wanted it so bad. I think you're the one that didn't think it through, because now you have to watch it twice every year, basically.
Twice?
Because you
Why?
Also listen to their podcast.
I mean, but their podcast is only like an hour. And I can do other stuff while I listen to it.
Yeah, that's true. But you also did the thing where you did the watch along.
Okay, well, thanks for fucking outing me on it. Yeah, this is my second Paul Blart Mall Cop. What's really crazy is it's my second Paul Blart Mall Cop in 2023. Sorry, my second Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 watch in 2022. But it's my third in a 12-month period, I think. Because I think we watched it a little early last year as well. Can you not make our cat be so destructive?
I'm sorry. She's full of shit, so I had to play with her. And I might have accidentally made her hit the door.
You clearly did not take away the message from the movie of you need to show up for the job at hand.
Her tail's all fluffed up.
Well, you're traumatizing her cat. Great. Anyway, this is The Bargain Den. It's your weekly source of financial advice in the form of us watching movies or telling you whether or not they're frugal or not, or the fact that we should, you know, mistreat our cats. I'm Brandon.
I'm Donna.
And we watch Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. We'll briefly go through the plot. Paul Blart is a mall cop, has a daughter, and
her name's Maya.
Maya. Paul Blart has lost his wife and his mom, and so he's real sad. Then he gets invited to speak at the security convention in Vegas. He thinks he's going to give the keynote speech. This is the part I don't like about watching it every year and then doing it for our podcast, is I hate having to try and retell the plot because it's just a big nothing burger.
So he's not going to give the speech, but then he is going to give the speech, but then he's not going to give the speech, but then he is going to give the speech. But by this point, he had a big fight with Maya.
Because she got into UCLA, but he doesn't want her to go.
And so she's at a party with a boy, but she accidentally...
Chicken Tao Lane.
She accidentally wanders into a crime.
Bah, bah, bah. That's right. What's his name? F.N.
Neil? Evil man.
Vincent Soffel, played by Neil McDonough.
Vincent so full of art.
Oh, hey, he's going to steal Van Gogh.
He's going to steal the art in this hotel and sell it. And so they're going to probably kill Maya?
But they don't, because Paul Blart saves the day. He's a good dude.
Hooray.
Hooray. Donna, what did you think of this movie again?
It was so stupid, Brandon.
It's such a dumb movie. It's a dumb, stupid movie.
Honestly, like, I think about this probably every year. Every 3 years we've been doing this or whatever. Is that the first one is so much better.
Oh, yeah.
So much better. This one's good. There's a lot of things about it. It just is so fucking dumb. What did you think, Brandon?
Yeah, it's really dumb. This watch really did hit on a lot of the moments of real... We say it's dumb or we say it's stupid. It's just because it's the kind of humor that's like, yep, that will be pretty silly and stupid if that happened. And Paul Blart is an embarrassment of a man.
That is like, that's the perfect, yeah.
They talk about this a lot on Death to Lewis Blart, and I don't want to croach on their stuff, but I was really struck with it this year, is like, are we supposed to like Paul Blart? Because he's a bad, bad man. He's so bad. And for every moment that you're like, yeah, you know, I feel for him. He does something, I mean, so... awful. Like, it's, I don't know. Are we supposed to like him?
No, because that's part of what makes it so funny when he constantly gets, you know, fucked over or fucks up, you know? It's like, yeah, fucking dipshit. Hey.
Our cat is getting into a bag.
See, this is why I have to play with her.
Yeah, he's just a bad, bad man. And there's a couple of scenes that just really, like when he accuses the hotel manager of flirting with him.
Airbag.
That's a bit of an exaggeration of it, yes, he does that. Also, I hate the scene where Maya comes out in a swimsuit and he goes,
oh God,
excuse me, Victoria's Secret.
He's like, I didn't want to know Victoria's Secret.
And
that's so gross, dude. That's your daughter. Stop it.
Not that it matters, but it is an insanely modest swimsuit as well.
It's like the most coverage that you would ever see in a swimsuit sold after the year 1970. Like, I can't.
What was your favorite part? What stuck out this year as your favorite?
I think my favorite was the scene when Paul, right after having the fight with his daughter, where she's like, I am going to go to UCLA and leave you. And he's chasing her and he runs into Saul,
Saul Gundermutt?
Yeah. And then it's Saul's wife and they're like, oh, are you here with your wife? And he's like, no, my daughter, my wife's dead. And they're like, oh, that sucks. Anyway. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, my daughter's going off to college soon. This is our last trip together. And they're like, oh yeah, that was the worst. I wanted to kill myself, like more or less. And like the only way I made it through was because I have my spouse anyway. that scene was so great. I really love the actress who plays the wife. Who is that?
Oh, Anna Gasteyer.
Anna Gasteyer as Mrs. Gundermutt.
Yeah. I also want to take a shout out to Khan Mubi, by Shelley Desai. So good. He gives Paul a hug And Paul is like, thanks, I needed that. And then he gives him, he's like, oh, look, kiss on the shoulder. It's so good. Also, I have a question for you that I think you'll love. So don't look at the cast or your phone or anything, okay? You remember the one bad security guard that had the purple suit on? He was bald?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You remember what his name was?
Fucking Hank?
No. It's Hink.
I know, but they said Hank.
No, it's Hink.
I know, but they said Hank.
No, they said Hink.
Look, I know it's like H-E-N-K. I read the subtitles, okay? His name was Hank.
But it's Hink. It's Hink.
What is your problem? Why? Why is this important?
It's really funny because they said Hank. And his name is... why? Like, why did they...
Listen very closely. Hank.
It's Hank.
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 Let's see what some other people had to say about this.
Box, 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 boxed in.
Ted Silva gave it 5 stars, said a truly devastating, haunting, and achingly human portrayal of a mental illness. James gives a tour de force performance, which is well anchored by an apt supporting cast. David Henry, of Wizards of Waverly Place fame, stands out as a love interest for Paul's long-suffering daughter. Henry shines as the boy that not enough people notice but wish they could have known better. But it is the performance of Kevin James that excites the emotions and moves the audience. His portrayal of such a damaged soul is a true powerhouse. See Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 for it is the most important film of 2015 thus far and likely for the rest of the year.
I love this. Who was that reviewer?
That was Ted Silva.
That was probably the most poignant and beautiful review that has ever existed for this movie.
Maddie gave it 1 star and said, A24 does it again. I enjoyed that. Olaf gave it 0.5 star and said, always bet on Blart. No, do you have any comment on either of those?
Nothing burgers.
Owen Chapman gave it 0.5 star, said bad. Mm-hmm. Snow Bunny Gaming did not give it any stars and said, I like a man in uniform, and then gave a bunch of pretty sexually charged emojis afterwards.
Gross.
Lastly, we'll just go ahead and read Guy Montgomery from the Till Death Do Us Blart. He said, one of the top 2 Paul Blart movies.
That's accurate. Did he give it any stars?
No.
I love that. Okay. Yeah.
It's such a movie. It's such a movie, ain't it?
it's a movie. It's now we've watched it enough times that like there was a moment when I was like, oh, Brandon, your favorite scene's coming up.
And what was funny is I was like, it's not going to get me this year. My favorite scene is there's a scene where Paul Blart has to go. I guess it is because I cracked up at it. There's a scene where Paul Blart he's got a lead. And so he goes to the warehouse of the MGM Grand that this movie takes place in. And the shipping center, where there's a bunch of crates in there. And one of the shipping people there like catches him, and Paul Blart lies and says he's with Internal Affairs. And shipping Internal Affairs. And the guy goes, do you mind if I eat my lunch? Paul's like, no, it's fine. So anyway, where did these crates? And the shipping guy takes out the brownest banana.
Not brown. It is black. It is black all over it.
And proceeds to eat the most rotted banana.
He peels it open and it's like 1,000% brown mush all over.
And Paul is like gagging and he's having a real hard time not puking. It's a very good, funny scene. The banana scene is always good.
And what was my favorite scene?
I don't know. What was it?
I just said.
I know you did. But I thought you were going to say a different one.
No, I was just trying to remember what scene really got me this time.
You laughed a lot at his speech that he gave.
Oh, God. Yeah, what really... Security! Like, I fucking cannot. And the fucking shots over to Davina just being, like, eyes full of tears and, like, nodding, like, She's so into it. And she's standing there next to her boyfriend who's like, are you fucking serious? And she just gives him the hand like, don't. I'm feeling the emotions.
Do not interrupt this.
It's just the speech kills me every time. It's a really good speech, actually. It's just, it's a good speech.
Help someone today.
Help someone today.
I thought your favorite scene would be the ice cream getting dripped.
No, God, no. I don't like that. It's gross. It lasts forever. It does. You're the one that likes the gross food scenes.
I don't like the ice cream scene. I wanted that to be clear. It's just, I like that they feel as though it works. Like they were like, that somebody was like, let's have the ice cream, you know, because they could have just had it to where he like suavely slides under and then has the ice cream dripped into his mouth.
Or even how he does, where it's like kind of a, like he inches over there and like flips over like, clumsily, yeah. And but then it drips in his mouth.
It could have just landed square into his mouth, but they had to have it splatter all over his face.
And he's like licking and making like fucking faces about it. Ugh.
Let's go see if we could find some ice cream in the clearance aisle. It's the glue gun and it shoots glue foam.
Does that mean we found the ice cream or not?
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to rehash whether or not this is frugal or not, even though I don't remember what we said last year.
Yeah, that'll be the fun part is like, do we agree year over year? Who knows?
I don't know. I just want to keep talking about the movie.
Okay, glue, foam, gun, frugal or not frugal?
Not frugal. It didn't. It worked
once.
It busted
after one use.
And then it was super gross.
Disgusting. So not frugal. How about the marble gun?
Not frugal. It didn't work.
Yep.
It just, I do love the guy who introduces it, though. He's like, marbles. When he says, he goes, marbles. Good luck trying to get out of these.
So not frugal.
Not frugal.
Now, the beanbag gun worked really well.
And never,
shockingly well.
Never had to be reloaded.
Yeah. Never has to be reloaded. It never misses, except for the first four times Paul fires it at the targets. But after that, it literally never misses. So I'd say that one's frugal.
I think that's the thing about this that I don't like as a movie. It's like, I don't know if it's this as a movie or a story or what, but what it's just the fact that like he is so incompetent up until a point, and then they turn him into like a diehard James Bond character. Like, Kevin James just is suddenly, he's hitting every shot with the beanbag gun.
Well, because remember the sights were off.
No, they, shut up. You baited me and I bought it. I got upset. I was like, oh, because then.
Well, but no, genuinely, I like to believe that he was right and the sights were a little bit off. And that's why he never missed after that. Because when he's shooting it, it's always just slightly to the right and up every time it misses.
But then the guy immediately picks it up and shoots.
Yeah, because he watched.
All right. Yeah. Maybe he was like, yeah, he calibrated and Paul Blart couldn't. But that's just it. If Paul Blart couldn't calibrate, then he couldn't then go and do 360 no-scope shots with the beanbag gun as he's driving
as he's
on
driving.
A Segway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, the fucking things he does on a Segway
are stupid.
They're so stupid. It's like, watch me not fall off. I'm going to shake as if I'm still on. Woo.
I also noticed, so the trailer started to play before the movie played, and I was like, I can't watch any of these scenes more than I've seen them. But there's a scene in the trailer where he's
you're the one who chose this.
Hey, I can
we
still complain about
together.
It.
Go on.
He's driving through the desert on a Segway, which is a scene that's not in the movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He's like heading to Vegas. And like, I wish that was in the movie somewhere.
Oh my God.
I also want to point out this movie.
Wait, is that frugal or not frugal?
Oh, I'd say not frugal. Cause like they should have used that.
Agreed. Not frugal.
This movie is also very mean to Kevin James. Again, I am not the one to say this, but like, it has been said that is Kevin James' real body that they're making fun of a lot in this movie.
The whole ass movie that they make him make fun of and other people make fun of. With like, are you thinking about the Davina conversation or
no? But go ahead.
Just right after the whole situation with the airbag, Davina goes and talks to her boyfriend, and he's like, "What's going on?" And she's like, "That man over there just had the strangest interaction with me. He thought I was flirting with him."
He goes, "El Gordo, like the fatty, like
yeah." And then she's like, "Yeah, that's the one." And he's like, "Well, honey, you know, fat people use humor to make themselves appear attractive." And she's like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." Mm-hmm.
Well, what I was thinking of, and it sucks because it is, it's so bad.
That one's particularly funny to me because Kevin James
yeah.
is a comedian, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that depends on who you ask, but
well,
yeah. But like the one I was thinking of is when he goes to play craps. He goes to play craps at one point in the movie and he doesn't know how to play. And he puts all of the cash he has on this. And it's like a real hot table and everybody's like excited. He gets a complimentary root beer. And they roll the dice and he loses and everybody gets mad at him. And one of the guys off camera, you just hear him go, "Oh, the fat guy ruined it."
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Damn.
Yeah.
That is Kevin James's real body.
It makes me wonder how much of that was in post. You know, like,
I don't know, because so much of the story is that as well.
Like, yeah. Well, it is his real body. And in that sense, as awful as it is, I think that's frugal.
That is true.
The segue. He got a free and kick-ass Segway, brand new model.
Oh, I thought you meant, well, okay. Well, I say free, he stole too.
He stole, but he also, I think, broke it. Like, he used it to ram into a guy and didn't use it afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's not frugal. That was the brand new model.
How about that?
He broke it.
How about that fight scene?
That fight scene was incredible. That was the frugal high point of the film, I would say. It was, like, from a film point of view, gorgeously choreographed, incredible, hilarious, action-packed, everything you want in a fight scene and more. And from a story point of view, the weapons that they incorporate in this fight are incredibly frugal. We're talking everyday items. We're talking lamps, belts, capes, everyday items that you just have around.
This is my Saturday cape.
He was getting a haircut. I fucking love that guy.
Fucking love movie. Galdern, how you feeling about keeping this as a Thanksgiving tradition? How's that feel?
We fucking bought it. I feel like we have to keep it. That's the only way we as people can be frugal and keep our good frugal name, not besmirch it.
I think it's paid for itself, though, at this point, right?
I think we broke even with this year. I think that's where we're at with it.
We broke even with Paul. Gosh, I want to do, like, my favorite thing, too, would be every year to do this as a tradition. What is Paul Bart 3 like?
Okay.
What do you...
Well, okay, first, I think we need to wrap this section a little bit, because I think we're leaning towards not frugal.
Oh, see, I think we're leaning towards frugal.
I mean, because it was really just the fight scene and the beanbag gun.
And his weight. That was the
and
whole...
And his weight.
It's his crux of it,
that
I feel
is, like. That is the big, big part of this.
And I feel like, I mean, they were in Vegas, and they shot it at the MGM Grand, and they used all the elements of that. They had the owner of the MGM Grand. They had Cirque du Soleil in it. They incorporated as much as possible of where they're on location of.
That is true. Okay. All right. So, frugal, I think, and Paul Blart, Mall Cop 3.
Yeah, what's your pitch for Paul
I think Blart part of the good thing about us doing this every year is I genuinely forgot what we said last
year.
Sure,
me too.
I have no fucking clue.
I do not even care if we say the exact same things. But.
Good, okay. All right. I would love, someday we need to put these all back to back. All of our Paul Blart episodes.
Yeah, just do a mega episode of it.
Yeah,
Okay.
It's like 5 hours long from the 10 years we watched Paul Blart before Amazon went down. That was quite the year.
We'll have to purchase a physical copy of it.
Okay. Paul Blart Mall Cop 3. What do you think, Brandon?
You didn't give me one.
I know.
I think there's a lot of ways it could go. So what I want to do is I want to posit like what I really want to happen.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want to.
No, now you go. No, if you're going to cut me off, you go now.
I want a Paul Blart in space.
Yeah, you want a Paul Blart in space?
Yeah, think of all the hijinks.
Yeah, but this is just it. It's like that feels like that's jumping the shark, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And
that common phrase.
Yeah, that is a phrase.
Jumping the shark.
Yeah.
Continue.
Have you never heard that?
No, I'm saying I know that phrase very well. I understand.
So are you just an idiom pointer outer or something? You're like, yep, that's something someone says.
Yep. That is something someone says, yeah.
I think now, having lived here, I want Paul Blart in Bangkok.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
stakes are high here.
And here's the thing. Here's my like olive branch to Kevin James for it, is to reach a broader audience. I mean, because I feel like if you're going to go international, like, because there's obviously, you know, the Paul Blart in like Paris, that feel like I can already see the cover with the Eiffel Tower behind him and stuff. Mm-hmm. I could see the Paul Blart in London with the, you know, Big Ben behind him and stuff. And then I could see when it's Paul Blart, you know, Paul Blart 5 is he's in Japan or something. And it's like all of those feel easy. Here's the thing. I don't think a lot of people are aware of just how many fucking malls there are in the city of Bangkok.
It's like the weekend pastime of choice. I'm not kidding.
We like no joke. There are within a 5 minute, like there is a mall within a like 10 minute walk from where we live. And then there is probably 10 plus malls that we could get to like in a day of walking, like not joking.
Of walking. Like in a day of travel, like if we're just opening this up to like public transportation or cars or a motorcycle or something, we could probably get to like 100 malls within a day of travel.
Yeah, like literally, like if it was just us like stepping foot in and then leaving, not an exaggeration, probably could do 100. Like
there are so many fucking malls and they're huge.
And so, you know, instead of going the Hangover 2 route of like only showing like one side of what Thailand and Bangkok is like really capture how like just awesome of a place. I'm saying this and I'm like, there's not a chance in hell that Kevin James's crew would do Thailand or Bangkok justice. But I'm just saying you have the opportunity of something really fun and unique.
Yeah. And think of all the jokes you can make about Paul Blart not drinking. There's a big drinking culture here.
Yeah, I'm now thinking about all the insensitive stuff that I imagine that would happen, and I don't know that I want it to happen.
But. What? Paul Blart? Insensitive? Are you sure?
Yeah.
He meets some beautiful, gorgeous Thai lady, and he's like, airbag. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 and possibly Paul Blart Mall Cop 3. I'm so excited for 3 to come out because you know we're watching it.
Yep.
Do you want to thank some people?
Yes. Thank you so much for listening, for keeping our malls safe, and for helping someone today. Remember, it's Thanksgiving, so be grateful. I sure am grateful for you. Thank you, Brandon, for hosting the podcast with me. I also want to thank Sarah Anastasia for the use of their art. That's our cute yellow cover of us holding our cats. And I like to thank the Lounge Kittens for the use of their cover of Dirty Deeds. That's our intro and outro music on each episode. And I want to thank Anchor.fm for hosting our podcast. And I also want to thank, because I'm just full of thanks, it's thanking time. I'd like to thank our bargainer, who is Jack3245. Thank you, Jack. And if you, listening right now, would like to become the new bargainer, it's easy. Just go to iTunes. Leave us a review. We'll even read it. And then you'll be the bargainer until you're not. It's a great deal. It's super easy. It's free.
I'm just now learning that the UK version of the Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 cuts about 8 seconds to remove a headbutt and 2 moments where knives are opened and twirled to obtain a PG rating.
I wonder if that's why the subtitles get progressively further ahead throughout this movie.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. And last year I thought it was just an internet thing we were going through, but now I'm certain that it's the movie. I was thinking about that. Like, they must have cut something and then left the subtitles as they are.
Maybe so. Thank you, everybody, for listening. My name is Brandon.
My name is Donna.
Pinch those pennies.
And stay frugal.
What's the deal here, Donna? Now, don't look at the screen.
I'm not looking.
It's important that you don't, but I've got quite a deal. Armor of God, Bulk Pack, 10 Mighty Warrior Religious Challenge Coins, Memory Verse Tool for Teen Bible Studies for Men and Women, Ephesians 6:10 through 18.
Ephesians,
thank you. Ephesians.
Oh, you know, God and the Bible.
I be an Ephesian for men. Christian Bible Verse Gift. So this is a pack of 10 of these Mighty Warrior Bulk Coins. They look like this. Now you can look, Donna. This is what they look like.
So they're like little coins with verses on them?
Well, there's little coins with yes, they do have verses. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wills of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principles, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, sorry, wait. That was just the Ephesians. Tagline for Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. My bad.
You have to cite it. That's the point. Ephesians 6:10 through 12.
I don't have to. Anyway.
That's how Jesus works, Brandon.
Pack of 10, 96, 99. Would you buy these?
How much? Not what?
$96.99.
No. Are they made of pure gold? What the fuck? $96.99? Yeah. I was going to say frugal until that price. Jesus.
But Donna, there's only 20 left, meaning that there's only 200 of the coins left for sale on Amazon.
Ew, no. Okay, I was like, oh, that'd be a cool party trick. You can just be like, yeah, I've got Ephesians memorized. Check this out. And you just like sneak peek at the coin.
See, I was gonna pause it. I was gonna go ahead and start the outro music, but then you just said it would be a cool party trick to be like, I know this whole Bible verse. Hey, everybody, check this out. This is Ephesians 6:10 through 18.
I learned this from my extreme teen Bible token.
I'm imagining everybody standing around with red Solo cups, nodding as you read that whole fucking tagline to Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
The wickedness. Mm-hmm. Not frugal at all.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
But you ain't got the guts. She keeps nagging at you night and day, enough to drive you nuts.
There is a monthly payment option where you can pay $17.61 a month for 6 months.
Fuck off.